The Pittsburgh Steelers lost their first game of the season to the New England Patriots 17-14 at Acrisure Stadium. And it wasn't pretty how they lost it, because you could see that there were several different ways that they could have won it. But between Gunnar Olszewski's fumble, Cam Sutton dropping an interception, Akella Witherspoon getting mossed, or Mitch Trubisky and Matt Canada looking bad on offense again, you could point in a lot of directions. We're going to start with that last one, though, because the offense is still a major question mark moving forward to see if they will ever turn it around. We'll talk about that, what the defense did and didn't do in this game, and the outlook for the rest of the season, all right here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On Steelers, your daily Pittsburgh Steelers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, bringing you your daily dose of all things of the Pittsburgh Steelers. As always, you can find the show on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, and YouTube. If you're watching this video on YouTube, please hit the like button on this video. If you enjoyed, hit the subscribe button on our YouTube channel to get all of our daily Monday through Friday episodes, as well as our bonus content. We thank you for making Locked On Steelers podcast your first listen every day. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. Just pick 2 to 5 players, and if they score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 10 times your money on any entry. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code LOCKEDON. That's prizepicks.com, promo code LOCKEDON. Now, let's get to just the nitty-gritty of this. This was not fun for most Steelers fans. I mean, it did go down to the wire. There was a chance for the Steelers, but ultimately, there was not a lot of fun to be had watching this offense play again, and you were hoping to see some steps forward from it, but you didn't. Now, yes, we will talk about the defense in a bit. We will talk about the lack of a pass rush because Mac Jones had a lot of time to make plays. But ultimately, this was supposed to be an opportunity for Mitch Trubisky and Matt Canada to come out and show that the progress of the offense, that they were taking steps forward. And that didn't happen. Mitch Trubisky finishing the game 21 of 33, 168 yards, did throw a touchdown to Pat Freiermuth, but also threw a terrible interception that was also targeting Pat Freiermuth. And you can see there was only one drive on the drive they scored that touchdown where they had any synergy, and it was when they went into the lightning offense, where basically had a set string of plays where they were going to go out there, execute, keep it moving, and just run the plays, and they were able to catch rhythm and make that happen. But as the time showed, after that drive, they went back to trying to do their normal pace of things, and it didn't work. Now, everyone's still going to ask the same question. Is it Matt Canada? Is it Mitch Trubisky? Is it both? And in a way, it is both. But I still see, I'm telling you, that like last week I had to wait because I wasn't in the press box for the Bengals game. I didn't get to see the safeties live. I had to watch the broadcast angle, same as you all. But today, because I'm recording this Sunday night, I was in the press box. And let me tell you, there was a lot of open wide receivers. And not just open down the sideline. If you're thinking, well, it should be open in the middle part of the field, they were open there too. I want you, if you're watching on YouTube, I apologize to our listeners if you can't see this, but I'll describe it as best I can. But I want you, if you're watching on YouTube, to look at this passing chart. This is Mitch Trubisky's passing chart from the game. Look how devoid of the middle of the field it is. Yet again, this is the same thing that we were saying with Ben Roethlisberger last year. And to me, it shows a reluctance to try to read the defense with complex coverages. When you see all those lines, like look up out to that left there, and you see all those green dots to the sideline. You can see all the way out there, there's about 1, 2, 3, 4 passes that were completed. Mitch, you know, going to the left sideline past 10 yards, Mitch Trubisky was 4 of 5. That was his comfort area. But you go to the middle part of the field, his touchdown to the middle part of the field was about 10 yards. His interception was a little over 15 yards downfield. And really, he was closer to the 10 yards because he got tipped. But when you look at that chart, what it tells me and what it should tell you is that he is struggling to see the field just like Ben Roethlisberger was. And there's some blame that you could put on Matt Canada for saying, hey, maybe you need to dumb it down a little bit. Maybe you need to make things simpler and keep things kind of hyper-focused for Mitch Trubisky to have just one read. But this is a veteran NFL quarterback. this is a guy who's supposed to be able to do the basics. Like on his interception, you know, if you were a Steelers fan, you were getting tired of all the checkdowns. You were tired and tired. Just stop checking it down for no reason. There was one play on third down where he checked it down to Najee Harris while Deontay Johnson had tons of space just 10 yards upfield. And after the check down, you see Deontay Johnson just throw his hands like, what are we doing here? That was like he was surprised that was the decision there. And on the interception, a similar thing, but in reverse. Instead of checking it down to a wide open George Pickens on first and 10 in the flat with a defender 10 yards away from him, where that's where you want George Pickens to be able to make a play, Mitch Trubisky chooses, hey, that's the time to throw down the middle of the part of the field into double coverage where the linebacker could tip it and the safety could intercept it. Now, the Steelers were able to get it back with their own interception, Minkah Fitzpatrick making a play, but still, you can see the reluctance from Mitch Trubisky to try to make those reads down the middle part of the field. Now, maybe Matt Canada needs to do better at creating route combinations that make it easier for a Mitch Trubisky to make those reads. But on the Lightning drive, those reads were there. The combinations stacked themselves. And Najee Harris was open underneath. And that opened up other opportunities for Deontay Johnson. I really think that this offense, a big part of this is rhythm. A big part of this is Mitch Trubisky coming off of his first and second reads. And sometimes it's really just off his first read. And that will solve a lot of the problems. Let's face it. Mitch Trubisky last week outmanaged Joe Burrow in that game because Joe Burrow turned it over 5 times. And I said, like, Mitch Trubisky's biggest thing was he was just supposed to not turn the ball over in that game, which he didn't. And that was all they needed. But this week he needed to outmanage Mac Jones. He turned the ball over and didn't do enough to make up for that turnover. And granted, this isn't all on him. Again, there were plenty of mistakes. Pat Freiermuth, there were a couple passes that I thought he should have caught on third down that could have extended drives. Again, I think that there was a, you know, with Cam Sutton, that interception he dropped, I can tell you he's still steaming about it. We went to talk to him in the locker room. He didn't want to talk. Gunnar Olszewski's fumble, extremely costly. I mean, if either one of those happened, Cam Sutton intercepts the pass or Gunnar Olszewski doesn't fumble the punt, the Steelers might win that game. And that's no excuse for them. It's just you didn't execute. And I think it comes down to that, is that can this team execute enough across the board in the absence of TJ Watt to make up for his playmaking ability? Because that's what Ben Roethlisberger did from the quarterback position for years. That's what TJ Watt did from the edge rushing position, or does from the edge rushing position when he's in there. That's what superstar players do for you. Like, for example, Minkah Fitzpatrick's interception, which we'll get to later. Superstar players can make the plays that make up for the mistakes from the role players who were just trying to do their job and be in position, but made a mistake that turned into a big play for the other team. But when TJ Watt's not in there, it means you have to be that much more on your P's and Q's. And I thought there were a lot of players in this game that were on their P's and Q's. I thought Deontay Johnson was. I thought Najee Harris was. I thought Chase Claypool was. I thought the offensive line, even though they didn't have a great game, they held their own. If you actually go back and look at the pockets that Mitch Trubisky was getting throughout this game, I thought they did fine. I thought Terrell Edmunds had a really nice game. I thought the linebackers had a nice game to start, but you could tell that they got tired as the game went on. Again, we'll get to that in a bit. But this is a team that was designed to win around great defense. I thought they were very good defense. They weren't great on Sunday. They were very good because, again, they allowed 17 points with an offense that was anemic and scored one touchdown the entire game. And 7 of those 17 points came off of a fumbled punt. And the other another seven of those came off of just a play where, hey, a receiver made a ridiculous, amazing catch over your top cornerback. That's just one of those that just you get beat on. It's not a schematic breakdown. It's not a, oh, man, we were so off our game. That was a, hey, they just made a better play than us in that one, which, again, happens in the NFL. But I think the biggest thing in this game is that there are reasonable plays to be made by certain people, and the people that didn't make those reasonable plays, I think Mitch Trubisky being one of them, cost the Steelers the most. And again, I'm not saying Mitch Trubisky has to fit a ball 40 yards downfield in between two defenders and splitting cover three down the seam all game long, but he has to take what's there. And too many times I saw him not. And to me, that part of it is the blame that's on him. Now, if you want to blame Matt Canada for something, maybe he does need to make it simpler for him and say, hey, this is, it's just a 1-2 read offense. Get it out, the ball at your hands. If it ain't there, it ain't there. And maybe that's what they're doing some of the time, but it's definitely not what they're doing all of the time. And if it was, you wouldn't be seeing so many Steelers fans throwing their hands, not Steelers fans, excuse me, Steelers players throwing their hands up in the air of confusion after another bad decision from Trubisky. Because I'm telling you, when you watch back on the All 22, there's going to be a lot of those passes that looked off target or were to a guy that knew that they knew that they wasn't going to make a big play. Those plays, when you see the Steelers on the field, the playmakers having that kind of reaction, that tells me that they were like, man, like that was not what we practiced. So Matt Canada deserves some blame because obviously there's, you know, he needs to design an offense that Mitch Trubisky can understand and process within. But I'm telling you, if you're a person who can watch the All 22 on the NFL Plus Premium, whatever it's called, you're going to see a lot of times where like, man, that guy was in one-on-one. That's a very completable ball. And Mitch Trubisky had a pocket. We'll talk about more about this when we do get the All-22 and we get to start getting to our grades for the Tuesday episode here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. But we also got to talk about the defense because they didn't have a great game. I thought they had a very good game. They did what they were supposed to do up until about late in the fourth quarter. And that was when kind of things kind of fell apart because they were just aghast and exhausted, which is going to happen after a week like you had against Cincinnati. But we do got to talk about the front missing TJ Watt and what happened there. We'll do that in just a minute here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. But first, we got to talk to you guys about Prize Picks. Now, y'all know about Prize Picks. Prize Picks is the fun new daily fantasy game where everyone that needs to start playing right now because it's super easy. All you have to do is pick 2 to 5 players that you think you have a beat on for their day in fantasy. All you got to choose is whether they'll get more or less of a certain stat. And then you can make as many entries as you want in Prize Picks. And you can win up to 10 times your money on any entry. So, for example, if you thought that Pat Freiermuth was going to get more than 2 catches in this game, you'd be able to win. Now, again, Prize Picks sets it, but that's the cool thing. You're not competing against a million different people like you do in FanDuel and the other apps. You're not competing against an entire swarm of people who are picking fantasy teams. All you're competing against is the over side or the lower side where you're saying, hey, I think that this player is going to do more or less than what Prize Picks says. You can string those together for up to 5 players. And then again, they can get you up to 10 times your money on any entry. And it's not just football. They also do the NBA, Major League Baseball, NHL, college sports, and so many more things. So go to prizepicks.com right now or get the Prize Picks app and start playing daily fantasy sports with the more or less option on Prize Picks. And with this exclusive offer, you can get up to 100% an instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code Locked On. That's LOCKEDON, Locked On. Again, that's if you deposit up to $100, they'll give you another $100 on top of that. Don't forget to use that promo code Locked On to sign up for an instant deposit match of up to $100 right there on prizepicks.com or the Prize Picks app. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm your host, Chris Carter. Before we switch to the defense, I do think it's one thing I wanted to touch on about the offense. Last thing here was something that we got from Najee Harris when I was asking him questions in the locker room. Here's Najee Harris when I was talking about like, hey, like, you know, I noticed they were bunched in the box when you were in there. And then there were times they weren't, you know, what did you see, you know, as far as how the offense operated, you know, versus each situation. And Najee had some interesting things to say, and you could see the frustration coming out. It says, like, hey, man, it's more about execution. But I'll let Najee Harris tell you that. Here's Najee from the Steelers locker room Sunday afternoon.
What's your observation? They were kind of crowding you a lot more?
I mean, you know, they played me in different ways. When I start getting out the routes more, like what you was talking about, they start being more aggressive to me in the passing game. Crowding the box. I mean, no matter how you put it, we just got to execute. I mean, I don't know about the other stuff. Just, you know. Too much. I'm not really cared about how much they play me. It's just that as a team, you know, you just got to make more plays. You know what I mean? Stuff like that's going to happen. They're going to crowd the box, and sometimes they're going to, you know what I mean, back off and play our receivers. And I got to do better running the ball. And, you know, when they're crowding the box, now the receivers got to do better to get them out the box. So just a team effort that we just got to find ways to execute.
That's Najee right there in a nutshell. The guy is not making excuses for himself or his team. He's saying, hey, these are the things that we have to do better. And he's recognizing there are ways to beat defenses with a balanced look that the Steelers can give with their skill players, but they have to execute. And I will say this, across the board in the locker room, nobody was pointing fingers except to themselves, saying, hey, I got to be better at this. I got to be better at this. We got to be better at that, et cetera, et cetera. I will say this, though. George Pickens was not a happy camper, and there were several times he was open, and he was often the guy that was open, that was the most open and not getting looked at, and he was feeling the frustration all throughout. Yeah, he didn't want to talk. We couldn't get him to talk. It was rough. So, again, when you're asking yourself or you're talking to your friends about, you know, what's really wrong with the Steelers' offense, it may just be Mitch making mistakes, and it may just mean there might be the Kenny Pickett clock could be ticking a lot faster than we anticipated. We'll get to that in the third segment, but I want to talk defense for a bit. Now, the defense, again, I thought played very good because, again, anytime you hold a team to 17 points and your offense played as poorly as this, I think that that's a very good day. Now, the defense never got home and never sacked Mac Jones, but I think that's a testament to the fact that, hey, they were able to get the, you know, to hold them to that few points. And again, the points came from a deep pass where one play was just really, it was a great play from Nelson Aguilar, maybe the best play of his career over Akella Witherspoon. And then the other was they got handed the ball right after you had forced a really big stop on third down and Gunnar Olszewski fumbled the punt. If those are the two touchdowns you gave up in the game, that's not you having a bad day. I think that they gave the Steelers as much of a chance to win this game as they could, but it was obvious that the pressure wasn't getting home. And DeMarvin Leal, I'll get to this later in the week because I didn't have time to stitch together hit my interview with him, but you know, he talked about how there were different looks. Like last week, the Bengals, the whole idea of the Steelers' pass rush is that there's too many people to account for at all times. You can't pay too much attention to Cam Hayward because then T.J. Watt will kill you. But you can't pay too much attention to T.J. Watt because Alex Highsmith will kill you. And then even teams, they'll pay all the attention to T.J. Watt. And it's like if you don't double T.J. Watt, he will crush you. But if you do double him and you leave everyone else in single blocking matchups, they're going to get after you. And you saw more times when Alex Highsmith tried his spin move, the Patriots had counters for it. And it wasn't just a single player, as oftentimes a double team came in, or they were able to rely on help from a running back that was coming in, or a chip from a tight end. Things like that were easier to do in this game. But I also got to give credit to Mac Jones. There were times when Alex Highsmith beat his man and he just stepped to the side of it, was able to manage the situation and didn't panic. And that's where I say that he outmanaged Mitch Trubisky in this game, because Mac Jones, I didn't think, had a great game. He was 21 of 35 for 252 yards, threw a touchdown and an interception, and his touchdown was a jump ball. But to his credit, that's the jump ball play, you know, that Mitch Trubisky didn't give his players enough chances at in this game. So I do think that that's part of the issue there for the team. But you know, in coverage, the Steelers, they gave up some crossing patterns on third down. And I thought that was probably maybe their biggest situational flaw in this game. They started off really strong on third down, but then finished allowing 9 of 17 third down conversions for 53%. But to be fair, the Steelers offense converted it at the same rate, 8 of 15. That's 53% as well. But the Steelers defense, you need to be better than that. And there were times that they were processing down the field. But Minkah Fitzpatrick, another elite day from him. He gets an interception, has six tackles on the day. His interception, you know, kind of flipped the game back around and kept the Steelers in it after Mitch Trubisky's interception. And, you know, the deep ball that beat the Steelers to Akella Witherspoon, it wasn't on Minkah Fitzpatrick. It was just Witherspoon, who was in really good position, just got out-jumped in the situation. But Minkah Fitzpatrick still keeping the defense together. I want you to listen to Minkah Fitzpatrick break down what what the situation, you know, one, what happened with the interception, because I thought it was a beautifully set up play, much like how he baited Joe Burrow. It was a cover two situation where he let the kind of middle, he let the seam, this the receiver run up the seam, and Robert Spillane did just enough to force Mac Jones to put some more air under it, and that allowed Minkah Fitzpatrick to come back to the middle part of the field and intercept it. Great ball hawking skills there. But also, you want to hear from, I wanted to hear from him as far as how he felt about the coverage, how the communication. Listen to Minkah Fitzpatrick talk about the good and the bad from the defense on Sunday.
Your interception play, what was the setup to make that happen? It looked like you were defending one part of the field and switched at the last second.
Yeah, it was just a two-high defense. They had a seam running down the middle. You know, we're reading the quarterback, and he let go of the ball, put some air under it, so I just went and got it.
Did Mac Jones make a lot of good decisions today? It seemed like he was able to stay conservative at times, but then pick apart different parts of the defense.
Yeah, I think he took what we gave him. You know what I'm saying? He's a very, very intelligent player, and we gave him, you know, some of the underneath stuff, and he made a great ball, and the receiver made a great play on that one deep ball. And you know, that was it.
Were there different things that they did on third down that you guys didn't expect?
No, not really. They did exactly what we expected. We just got to defend better.
How many times did you get, you felt like there were some miscommunication breakdowns on you guys in the secondary?
No, I think there was no miscommunication that I know of, at least. They made a lot of great plays. They get paid as well. I think we were sticky and in great position for the most part, but they just made plays on the ball. And we didn't.
I mean, right there, I think says a lot. He's talking about how, you know, as far as the Patriots, he's like, hey, they didn't catch us off guard with anything. And the numbers show it. It's not like the Patriots threw. It's not like they did what Tua Tagovailoa did to bring the Dolphins back from 21 points on the Ravens on Sunday. It's not like they sliced and diced them. It's like, hey, they picked their spots and they're able to win in those situations. But again, the defense kept this game within range. I think the biggest things that the defense didn't do is they didn't get any sacks in this game. They didn't create enough turnovers. But again, that's going to happen when you're missing TJ Watt. It's not going to make as many stellar plays. Now, again, the defense, I thought, did enough to win this game, except the part where at the end of the game, when the Patriots needed to run the clock out, they allowed them to run it right down their throats. And that was reminiscent of last year a bit. But that I won't put that on schematics or a lack of effort. I think that was legitimately like this team, this defense was on the field a ridiculous amount of time on last week. And then they were on the field a lot this week because the Steelers offense just kept putting them back out there. And eventually, and you know, Mike Tomlin said it from the jump. He said, Bill Belichick does a good job isolating up situations, drawing up situations for the run game to win, regardless of who the running back is. And it's like, you can win against them some of the times, but they're going to win against you some of the times. And the times that the Patriots won it were on that last drive. But I still think that when you come down, when you look at this game as a whole, that's a good enough defensive performance to win the game. I still think this really comes down to the offense needing to figure things out. And they need to get some sort of rhythm to at least get you 22, 24 points. Because you do that, you're winning both the games the Steelers have played this year. And again, what I say with Mike DeBate, the host of Locked On Patriots, you know, on Thursday, I said it's going to come down to who makes the first real big mistake first. And both teams traded interceptions, but what was the costly thing that cost the Steelers? Special teams with Gunnar Olszewski's fumble. Now, I'm not going to be go as crazy as a lot of people on Twitter and say, oh, he should be fired for that. Gunnar Olszewski's a better player than you. I think a lot of people are going to give him credit for. People are going to point to that fumble, but he had a really good reverse run. I think he's going to have a lot more plays to rebound from that situation. I will put myself out there and say, I think that will probably be his last fumble or muffed punt of the season. If it's not, then they'll find a way to replace him. But I don't think that's going to happen with him a bunch. But still, you know, that was the play. I said this game was going to come down to a coin flip. I said it could go either way, and it's going to come down to who made the biggest mistake. And the Steelers made those biggest mistakes, and the Patriots capitalized on it. I think that's what it came down to. But now the Steelers have to focus on how to be better, how to make sure that on a short week they got the Cleveland Browns. They're going on the road. The Cleveland Browns just lost to Joe Flacco and the Jets. Can the Steelers' offense get it together on the road in a short week? We'll talk about that and the question that I'm sure a lot of you Steelers fans had: when is the time to put in Kenny Pickett? We'll talk about that and more just in a minute here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. But first, we got to talk to you guys about Turo. Turo, of course, is the world's largest car sharing marketplace. With Turo, you can book any car you want, wherever you want it, from a community of local hosts. Browse a huge selection of vehicles for just about any occasion or budget across the US, Canada, and the UK. Book a spacious SUV or minivan for a family road trip. Get a classic or luxury car for a special event, birthday, or holiday. Find affordable and economy cars if you're on a budget and just need to get from A to B. Test drive that new electric vehicle that you had your eye on and see how it fits in your everyday life. Many Turo hosts can even deliver the car right to you. Every trip is backed by liability insurance. Terms, conditions, and exclusions apply. Ditch boring rental cars and find your drive only at Turo.com. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm your host, Chris Carter. I'm going to get right into the whole Kenny Pickett thing. As people know, I think Kenny Pickett is going to be a very good quarterback for this franchise. I think that when he gets his shot, he will take it and he will look confident doing so, and he'll make plays for the Steelers. I'm not sure if he'll be, you know, otherworldly, but I think that he'll be a really good leader that this team can get behind, and there will be synergy in the offense when he gets into his rhythm. But I think that the Steelers are trying to give him the right launching point to get into that situation. I know a lot of people are screaming, start him this week, start him this week. But I'll tell you right now, the best launching point for a rookie is not 2 days of practice, because they're going to be healing tomorrow, and then Tuesday they're really going to get a practice, and Wednesday will be a walkthrough, and then they'll play Thursday. You want to give Kenny Pickett more than enough time to kind of have a full week, run with the ones, play really well there, and come into a game fully confident and let him have a strong start before you ruin his trajectory there. And I know that sounds ridiculous. Like, well, Chris, if he just has a bad game, he can just bounce back from it. But you want to make sure that he doesn't have a bad game, because sometimes quarterbacks get their careers can get jostled and flipped upside down on them by just having, you know, a couple bad games at times. And I think they want to make sure that Kenny Pickett's confidence as a quarterback starts off strong and they keep it at a higher level. And I don't think the answer is starting him this week against Cleveland when he's only got a couple days to prepare. But I will say this. If Mitch Trubisky has another day where we're questioning Thursday after Thursday night, well, does he even know the offense? What's going on here? Those types of things. Then that clock's going to tick a lot closer to midnight, and you know, for when Kenny Pickett's time will actually come. I think that if this keeps up, if Mitch Trubisky can keep him afloat, like if they can beat the Browns on Thursday night and Trubisky has an okay night, then I think it'll stave everything off, and you might be looking at maybe Kenny Pickett after the bye week, or if the Steelers are staying, can get back to, you know, winning games, and they are able to carry themselves, maybe you don't see him until late in the season, if at all. But the way Mitch Trubisky's playing right now, if this is his ceiling, which I don't think it's his ceiling, but I also don't know if his ceiling is something he can consistently hit enough to be the starting quarterback. Because a lot of these plays are right in front of him. Again, when you listen to how Micah Fitzpatrick talked about Mac Jones, he said, we gave him certain things and he took them. One thing you got to understand with defenses, you're not always going to create 5 turnovers. You're not always going to play elite level. A lot of things that you design in today's NFL, you can't just take away everything all the time. Like Joe Burrow, there were things he could have picked at with the Steelers last week, but he didn't. And a part of that is design to see, hey, what parts of the field does he not like to look at? What reads is he slower at? What parts of his offensive line can we pick at to kind of disrupt the rhythm to find those places that he normally likes to look at? Those are the things that when you start to see more and more of guys on tape, that then they translate to your defense having a better game plan. And the Steelers, I think, had a very good game plan, as Minka Fitzpatrick, you know, kind of hinted there. Not even hinted, he straight up said, he's like, you know, nothing they did surprised us. He said, you know, they had to exit. He took what was there. And again, it wasn't the taking what was there that crushed the Steelers in this game. What crushed the Steelers in this game was the deep pass that beat Akella Witherspoon, the fumble by Gunnar Olszewski, and then not being able to stop the run, and of course the offense not having a response. But if you're talking about the defense, the things that they couldn't stop was the one deep ball that Witherspoon got out jumped on. They had some struggles on third downs at times. They dropped an interception. and then they couldn't stop the run in the final drive. And that's frustrating to not stop the run in your final drive, but I think that that's something that they can try to recover from. But Mac Jones taking what's there, that's all you're asking Mitch Trubisky to do. And here's the thing, and this is where if you're one of the people that says just start Kenny now, I think that's something that Kenny can do. Because I saw him at Pitt do that for quite some time, taking what's there. Now, again, I think there's a lot of aspects to this that people don't get. It's not so simple as, well, just start Kenny Pickett and everything will be better. Because if Kenny Pickett goes in there and things are just as bad, then you're sitting there, well, what do we do now? You put in Mason? You put, you know, you put Mitch back in? Well, you just shot his confidence by putting the rookie in and over him. And also, you've shown that you're very reactionary, which the Steelers have never been. I don't know if people realize that, but that's a position of strength. When players inside and outside the team see that you give your players faith, especially ones that earn the title such as captain, like, as Mitch Trubisky has, when you say that you don't, when you give them shots to recover, when you want to show that you're a leader of men, as Mike Tomlin often likes to do, it's not knee-jerk reactions. I think those are signs of weakness, and that's what the Steelers are trying to avoid here. Again, we're two games into the season. The Steelers are 1-1. Also, by the way, they're technically still in first place for the division because the entire division lost this week. And it was really ugly how everyone lost too, right? The Bengals lost to Cooper Rush and the Cowboys. I didn't think that would happen. And I said on the Friday episode, if that did, there's going to be a lot to be said. Man, the Bengals are in trouble. But the Browns lost embarrassingly to the Jets, 31-30. Because Joe Flacco apparently turned into the elite version of Joe Flacco and dissected their defense late in the game. And then, of course, the Dolphins, down 21 points in the fourth quarter, found some way to come back and win that game. So the Steelers catch a break there, and because they have the only division win of the season so far, they're technically in first place in the division. Of course, that doesn't mean anything for the long run, but it does mean they didn't lose ground today. But if you're looking forward, maybe the Steelers do have to kind of think about the tone that they want to set for the rest of the season. And this is something that I think will be on Mike Tomlin. When does he pull the trigger to give Kenny Pickett his shot? And I get it that there's a sense of deference that you want to make sure that a veteran gets his shot, because if you pull a guy too soon, it shows that you, again, shows you're reactionary. I think it's a sign of weakness. It's also, I think, a sign that players, you know, they feel like if I make two mistakes, I'm gone, and their confidence gets shot. And then there's not as much trust among the organization, and it creates, you know, uneasiness, or it weakens your foundation as a team. But when you trust your players, especially your quarterback, which there's a lot of things that go into playing quarterback, when you give that player that chance to turn things around, if they don't take it eventually, okay, that's a different story. But when you give them that ground and then they do it, I think the team rallies around it. You know, and this is not saying that Ben Roethlisberger would have ever been pulled, but there were times, like in 2014, when the Steelers offense was anemic at one point, and then all of a sudden it just clicked for Ben Roethlisberger, and then it started firing off on all cylinders, and then they hit a crazy run that season. They played a lot better, and the team rallied behind Ben Roethlisberger. Now, I'm not saying Mitch Trubisky is going to do something like Ben Roethlisberger, but I am saying that if he finds a way to have a couple good games here and there, the team can get behind him. And then there'll be games where he can kind of fall back on being below the bar the way he was in these games. But because the team is fed off of it, I think that they'll be able to make more plays and there'll be more rhythm to the offense, and they'll have more ways to beat you. And if there's success, then teams have to honor it. You know, as much as Najee Harris isn't going to make excuses for himself, every time he was getting the ball, the Patriots were flooding the line of scrimmage. That's Bill Belichick. He's going to take away your best player. Go back to the AFC Championship game in the 2016 season. When as soon as Le'Veon Bell went down, Antonio Brown was double and triple covered to force Ben Roethlisberger to throw to guys like Darius Heyward-Bey and Eli Rogers and guys like that, because whatever is going to happen, he's going to have to beat us with these guys. And when Jaylen Warren was on the field, there wasn't that same sense of urgency from the Patriots defense. That's just what they do. But again, this comes back to what I was saying earlier about taking what's there and kind of what Najee was saying. And he wasn't throwing Mitch under the bus with this, but he talked about how, like, you know, when the corners back off, or whether when the corners, safeties, linebacker, when they're backing off because they're scared of the pass, that's his time to take advantage. And there were times I thought he did. When they're impressed, that's the time when other people have to take advantage. And other people, I mean Mitch Trubisky and the receivers, tight ends, whoever's running, you know, running those routes down the field. And again, there were times I think the routes were good enough to win down the field. The passes just weren't. So there's going to be a lot to look at from this game. I'm going to go over the film a lot and give you my grades on the Tuesday episode. We did our first grades of the season last week with our new grading rubric. So we got a lot of good feedback from that, by the way. I thank everyone who let me know if they liked or didn't like it. Of course, this was our grading rubric last week with the stars and the skulls to determine like good and bad plays versus good and bad days and things like that. But we'll do that. We'll do that more. On the Tuesday episode. I'm thinking we're going to be able to have Wes Euler back on to talk about this game and where this team needs to go. But bottom line, I do think that Mitch Trubisky's clock has sped up a little bit here. It won't be this week. Maybe it comes the week after that if it's really bad against Cleveland on the road. But I also think there's a chance that in a quick week, maybe they find some sort of synergy to get them some big plays in this game against the Cleveland Browns team that's also struggling themselves. But there's lots of things to look at. We'll analyze more of the film and get you ready for the short week here as the Steelers get set up for their Thursday night contest in Cleveland against the Browns. We'll break more of that down. Thanks again for checking out the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Carter Critiques. Check out my work at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, where I cover Pitt athletics. We've got a Pitt film study out on the offensive line and what they were able to do well in their win over the weekend. We also are going to have Pat Narduzzi speaking before Mike Tomlin on Monday. So there'll be a lot to talk about for the Tuesday episode there. A lot of coverage on Pitt for the Post-Gazette. And I hope that you guys enjoyed both of those. I'm Chris Carter again. Thanks for checking out the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm back on your screens and in your ears Tuesday.